Hi everybody. Now we're back with the charts for two funds that we follow. In the PDF file, the second PDF file, we see Fidelity Capital and Income, FAGX is the symbol, versus the Matthews China Fund, MCHFX. Charts show double bottom T's using the T-theory time symmetry equation, which is the ABCD, which we had previously used for the double bottom in the early July time period. And it says, according to my research here, the projected peak D for FAGX is near August 2010 versus the projected peak for the China Fund is near March 2010. It says we will refine those later, and then I just put my copy, my reference symbol, Terry Laundrie at WTTheory.com, in case this chart gets onto the internet and somebody wonders, you know, where they got it from. Okay, and down at the bottom, we repeat the time equation that D is the projected peak is knowable by means of the time symmetry, which is an echoing off of a double bottom. By the relation D, the projected peak minus the number of days from the second low at C must equal the number of days between A, the prior peak, and the first bear market low at B. So when you, now since we've already, we have a couple of successes on that. One of them was the BC bottom in the late November, early March time period, which are the BC bottoms. We project a period in August of 2010. That's not a successful, that's not a successfully proven case, and people would dispute that. However, if you go back to the previous low at the late 02, early 03 bottom, you get a projection of a top in September of 07. And that is proven to be correct, and we just went through the ABCD correction for the bottoms in the early July time period, the two twin bottoms, and came up with a proper mid-October peak. And as far as I can tell, this concept is perfectly clean through history, and so we will rely on these projections. The interesting thing about the now it says subject to refinement. what I did was I was very interested in answering a question which had to do with the Hadley projected turning points for the 2010 year, which have been released according to the people that sent me the questions as March and August, and I assume that these two T's here cover the two cases, which are, to answer the question, is that the first one, if you go from A, which is in the it's earlier than the September of 07 peak, it's back in the June time period, that's where the market started to fall off. You might remember this as because I'm going to discuss this in a little bit. That you, in June, you made a top and you came down into the I think that was August, and that was on the Bear Stearns mortgage problem. And you came back up into October, which was a peak for the S&P 500. It was supposed to be September, but it was October. Okay. What's happening here is the Capital Income, which is basically a low-quality bond fund with a high yield, or also known as a junk bond fund, but a well-managed one fund since 1977 and part of our program, is what happened is you fell down, and then it didn't want to come back up to the peak of the S&P 500. Then it fell away into April, and then it made a little rally, a bear market rally, and then it just died when we had the crisis. And then you have the two bottoms. One of them is in the November time period, the other one at the March low. And so you get the double bottom configuration. You make the calculation. The easy way to check these things on the charts is to just do, is to figure out the distance from that's the 1st of October, out to the end of the chart using a time symmetrical construction, then carry that distance back from October of 07, and then you lay it out because the scales are pretty much the same, and you get it, and you get a top which could be justified as in the August of 2010. all you're saying relative to the one in the China fund is it went down for a longer period to a double bottom, so it's going to go up longer. And I would interpret that as the fact that the if the regular market gets into trouble, it's because investors are getting out of equities and they're going over to bonds. And when they look at a bond fund, they'll say that a bond fund like this, which is yielding 7% plus, is a better deal than hanging around with Wall Street, which was not considered to be a safe place to be. And that works until we get into August. In other words, they'll keep buying it. And so the question you have is, do you want to, on this, but I do think this will pull back, because it's basically high yield bond funds act like common stocks that have a high dividend yield. They're still going to come down. So you can see that the rate of advance is starting to top out here. And I expect it's going to pull back, and it's maybe going to dip below the blue moving average, which is whatever it is. And at that point, actually, in my management program, we're out of this except for a token amount of money, but we're going to come back to it when it comes back down. And then we're going to go, you're going to repurchase for a run to D. And exactly what that is we'll have to go in and make a measurement, and I'll do that after we see the pullback and so forth, and then work out the strategy for going into that one. Now, you notice that this forecast is quite different than and the one for the Matthews Dragon Century China Fund. Matthews was an early investor in the Asia area. I believe he started out in Hong Kong and so forth. And he said some 25 years of experience. And so this is the China fund. If you're interested in China, this is a good fund because they've been around for 20 years. They know all the tricks. There's a lot of tricks there as far as not getting caught with junk and so forth. And this fund has a top, which you can see is in October of 07, which is more or less at the S&P 500 top. It has a bottom in the period that's basically that November low of 08, and then it has a higher retest low, but in March. But it's indicated to be very strong. The irony of this is that because it has a C bottom is higher than B bottom, you think it was stronger, but and it probably is in terms of percentage terms, but. Actually, it surprises that you can actually do better by getting the one that the bond fund that was absolutely devastated, and you know, as far as the ride is smoother on the upside than the China fund. The China fund is doing okay, but it's reaching the point where it's starting to roll over and so forth. So, you know, even though it's good, it's everything that's good's got problems and so forth. So I would suspect this is going to come down. It might go below the blue line again, which I think is the 55-day moving average, which is what I usually call up for the. This chart does not show Friday's decline on it. Okay. So in any case, if you now do the construction for AB equals CD, you're ending up going into March, and there's got to be a certain amount of truth to that. That's the idea that if you're growth oriented, which is completely different than income orientation, that there would appear to be a key that clearly says that somehow or other they're gonna pull the market up, kicking and dragging, going into March. we can go to the charts at stockcharts.com, and we can actually find out where the peak is, A is, and where the low at B was, and the C low is, and we could actually make the calculations and use a spreadsheet and time between dates and so forth and actually estimate where D is. But it's not important now, so we won't talk about it at this point in time. It's a simple demonstration that the short range T that we're looking for is going to somehow pull us out. And to answer the question of the people who think that there is a Hadley intermediate turning point in the new year, one says March, one says August, and they say March and August could be the turning points. None of that is all at all assured. But if somebody's thinking that the that those are going to be low dates, they're going to run up against the fact that the ABCD time symmetry in T's doesn't make mistakes. So they're likely to be wrong, and they're going. Any time you're wrong on whether you get a top or a bottom, you're going to lose money. So the answer is, it's better to just take this for its worth, what it's worth, as an argument that those are tops. If you want to insist that you want to be bearish, then what you have to do is you have to give some leeway for this to be right, and then we'll see how it goes as we get along. Okay, so that's all we have to do as far as this chart is concerned, and we will revisit this at a later time when we figure out what next week's action is going to be, and where the oversold conditions are, and you know, what the magnitude of the decline is, and how it shows up on these charts and so forth. Okay, so now before we close out today's session, I wanted to tell you about the new projects relative to what we've been doing at the T-Theory Foundation. And of course, the big thing that we did was we started adding in the 5 days of data for the indicators that are important over the long term. And we added 5 days on, and every time we produce a chart, we give you another 5 days and so forth. The present project that I'm working on is for each of the chart that you notice that in the charts that we produce for the which is in the chart, which we discussed in chart A and in part B, part A. If you look at that chart, you can see that it covers more than 1 year. It's basically 13 months. And those 13 months, you can take that program will allow you to take snapshots of 13-month integrals, and I can just back it up through history every year, so that it's I can make a back. I will probably make a snapshot of pictures of the plot that end on December 31st for ending of 08. We have the current one. Then we'll have a chart that ends it at the end of December 08. Then another chart that does the end of December 07. And you keep creeping back at least back to 2000, which is the big top for the 40-year cycle. I had a question on the fact that does the best bond strategy, which we talked about last week, is completely dependent on the fact that interest rates are going to go down, and all the what I consider, in my opinion, the incompetent people are projecting inflation, and there isn't going to be any inflation. But I would say that the best bond strategy doesn't rely on the interest rates being low, which makes it attractive to buy these things when they get the high yield. As long as they're not, as long as the Fed's supporting the market, then these things will come up, because they have down at the bottom they're claiming 15% rate of return, an indicated yield. Except that the bonds are defaulting, so it's a default rate is the catch 22 on that one. But in any case, so the question comes in, and he says, yeah, but what's it going to do if interest rates go up? The answer is the 40-year cycle says you're going into a depression. Okay, that's what the T-theory forecast is. Okay, the T-theory forecast is that you in 2000 are entering a depression, and in that depression, you will not have many people escape bankruptcy. Government is sliding towards bankruptcy. The companies are sliding towards bankruptcy. Nobody's going to put equity money into the equity markets, because they can see that's pretty much of a sham, because at the 2000 year, the price earnings ratio and the dividend yields were as low as it has gotten since 1929. So you're in a slow crash from the 19. You're paralleling the 1929 crash into the depression, but it's just going slowly. And what they do is they keep throwing things up. But they can never raise interest rates, and eventually interest rates will. The situation with the real estate is very much going to cause us to parallel Japan, which is the rates are going to go negative. They're not only are they not going up, they're going to go negative, and you're going to have this constant bailout scenario. So the whole concept of these. Junk bond funds, in the case of Fidelity Capital Income, they always come back up because there's no interest rate you can get, but they always crash after the next low because you're always going into bankruptcy. So what it is completely cyclical, and you can't get out of the trap until you get. As I was talking with the Peter Eliades thing, we both agree it's deflation. We're just trying to decide whether the worst of it is in 2013 or 2014. And these other questions you get on the people that what they call the wrong way Corrigans. They've got everything. It's like an Elliott. They're all Elliott waivers, okay? And they say you have an alternate account. One is inflation, one is deflation. They pick the wrong one. Then they pick the gold is going down to $300 when it's probably going up to $3,000 because we have a bullish T in it. Okay. So what the big thing about T theory is that when you look at Hadley, which can't get the tops. Which is very promising, I think, but it can't tell the difference between a top and a bottom date. Or you get the wrong way Corrigans in the Elliott wave, or other things. T-theory has got like two-thirds of the solution, and these others have other stuff, but they have an inverse relationship. They can't solve the final problem, and they leave you stuck with it could be up, but it could be down, which is absolutely no help whatsoever. So in any case, I think that it's probably worth pursuing them. But you know, you don't believe any of this stuff until you see I'm not believing that the China fund is going to go up here because that everybody loves China. Okay, it's got to go down, and if they're going to have a crash, it's got to go below that blue 55-day moving average, or whatever it is, and you got to have an oversold condition. Then you got to go through the basing pattern for the day, and then if you turn up, I'd say, yeah, it's plausible. It's going up today. Okay, we'll calculate that, and then that's what it was. But you don't have to believe it. But it's just one of those things that's where it looks like it's going to come out, and that solution is pretty good, and so forth. So you're trying to. People that come in here are usually very sophisticated, and they are always at the forefront of technology. And I'm just saying that is the. Is the way you kind of look at it. It looks like it's going to go this way, and but we have some missing pieces. And once we get the missing pieces, then you can be more sure of it and so forth. Now, incidentally, on the all these schemes are based. These other schemes that people are talking about are except for Armstrong's, which is based on a cycle concept, which is separate. Incidentally, that. Armstrong's concept is based on a observation that panics occurred on average like 8.6 years apart, and there were subdivisions to that. So far, according to Achilles, that's talking that what we are here making a top in mid-October is a major top for a market decline. I don't believe that's true, but it's just another thing, as you know, it could be right because it's a 50% retracement and so forth. So I'd say that's another warning sign. But after you get down and you start to turn around, then I think that you will figure out how to come back on that one. This whole business of the Bradley thing is described off of it's a lot of it is astrological in the sense that it's planetary motion. But I'll just leave you one thought. In 1978, I did the seminar circuit going down into Florida, and Ralph Goldman was kind enough to ask me to come down there, and I was one of the speakers on T-theory, and one of the other speakers was Arch Crawford, who was and I had heard of this famous person called Arch Crawford, who was a very serious student of the stock market, and he was doing this stuff on astrological forecast. So anyway, we're standing around waiting for Ralph, and this guy comes in. He's all dressed in motorcycle garb, and he looks like he came out of Hell's Angels. And he comes over to me, and he says, "Hi, I'm Arch Crawford." You know, and I said, "Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you." And he says, "I know you're a physics major, and you're do good work, okay?" And I says, "What's this bit about the astrology?" So he knew I was MIT, and he's a physics major, so he knows a lot about what's going on, and he worked with people at Merrill Lynch, so he knew about technical analysis and so forth. So I says, "What is this?" He goes, "Is this a scam or whatever it is?" He says, "No." He says, "What it is that people who believe in cycles believe in repetitive cycles, like you get off a spinning wheel." Where which would be the tides, the day, you know, day is 24 hours a year is 365 days plus a little bit, and you know the moon goes with the tides every 30 days, And then there's a double frequency on the daily tide lows because the oceans bulge symmetrically around the side. And so he says that's all cyclical motion. The problem with the stock market is if you try to put impose a cyclical rhythm on the stock market, you know, laying it on a chart, cyclical rhythm, you can't get the right answer. What happens is that the rhythm is there's a perturbation, and this. What you do is in the approach that he uses is that instead of saying it's cyclical, they say it's elliptical. In elliptical orbits, you have two foci, and it causes the motion to wobble. And if you take cyclical action that has a wobble to it, you come up with a better fit. Okay. The other people that have approached the point of they don't want to do cyclical, but they want to do a perturbation, use spirals. And that spiraling shows up in sea animals and so forth, but that's Fibonacci related. Okay, so anybody that's talking Fibonacci is doing a perturbation on cyclical motion in which we're trying to squash the cycles into a slightly different format to benefit the market. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get a natural way of disturbing cyclical motion, which they think will fit the market. Okay, and some of the worst forecasts that I've ever had seen come out of people is in the Fibonacci, because it has a complete ambiguity to it, and they always seem to pick the wrong one. The Bradley one is really interesting because I don't think it has anything to do with astrology. I think it's just a more complex elliptical motion. It does seem to have an interesting thing, although I would say I would believe it, but I would say that the way things are going is that we keep coming up with the same dates, except that I know the difference between the top and the bottom. So people keep asking me about this thing. I wouldn't bother to get into it if you're not interested in it, but that's the sort of the big thing that's coming up as to whether there's some rationale behind all of this stuff that has to do with cycles that are perturbed into elliptical motion or something, some other thing, which I probably never will investigate. So let's see, because and of course the 40-year cycle is the obvious case. The 40-year cycle has been running true for you know, it's possible you can say, so you can justify it's running true for 200 years. It has no elliptical motion whatsoever to it. It's just straight dumb stuff. So I prefer to sit onto that one. But it is interesting the way that you see the cash build, the cycles with underneath the cash build-up line. That sometimes they'll go into a mode where they're beginning to change from straight cycles to a compression in diminishing time between the lows and so forth. So anyway, so that's enough for that. And the other thing that I would point out is, as far as new projects are concerned, while I'm on the talk of just gossiping about things that I'm doing, in the charts we have the 5 days for data. However, I am now producing a table which has, you notice in the chart is 13 months, which is it's 280 trading days. I am now working on producing a table of that text readout of the data that covers 280 days, and it matches the one for the chart. Once you get that in the way, you now have a table of the short-range T volume oscillators and so that covers the total time span of the oscillator on the chart. And we add a serial number to the position. The last number in the table will be a serial position, which is the number of the days from my initialized for the starting point of the database, which is 1966. And there'll be a serial number that starts for the first day in 66, and then it counts up one more day until it comes up to a big number right now. Okay, but it means that when you want to calculate the left side of the T, the time symmetries, the ABCD, you just use the serial numbers, and it counts days that the market's open. And you can do anything inside that chart. We can find out, for example, is it true that the rally that we had, say a week or two from now, is it true that that rally that we had was 200 points up on from the Wednesday low to Thursday? Was that the final ACD final, what we call the final echo in my last letter. The answer is, it'd be nice to track that down because it is annoying, okay? Also, if you have an ABCD type of a bottom, is the AB, what we call the mystery T, which is now going to be called the first echo. Well, I can check that against all the numbers, because once I get charts with the serial numbers in them and I make charts that go back through history, we can calculate all of that stuff. And I can also produce a spreadsheet that has all the data that people have been requesting. So we're kind of working on that one, going that way. And as soon as I get the data for the full history of the 280 days for the chart, I will post it at the T-Theory Foundation, and it will be updated weekly. You don't need an update any more than that, because the daily chart will carry the next 5 days, and you can just add that data on and so forth. So that's how we're progressing to the point where we can get the research project, because there are people who want to do the collaboration, and they need to have all that data for a long period of history. And it certainly is interesting, and I thought it was a clever way to do it. Okay, that's it for today, and we'll be talking to you next Monday, and then I'll be doing the posting on Monday for the chart. We'll know more about what's going to go on. And then next Sunday, we'll be back here for a fuller review of the picture. Thank you. Bye-bye.